didn't really sleep good today after a night shift, so I'm a little bit seedy. But I'm trusting God tonight. He's my rock. Last Tuesday night, as I was in my study room trying to prepare for the sermon, Krupa comes in and we ended up having this very deep and meaningful conversation about God. And it was really good. I didn't get much work done on the sermon, but we made some real good and important decisions in life that night. We said yes again to Jesus. We invited him all over again into our lives, into our household. It was good. And we went to bed that night. And I woke up about 3:30 a.m. very distressed. I was sweating everywhere. And I had a real unpleasant, powerful, violent, demonic dream that night. It wasn't pleasant. I won't go into the detail, but all I can say is they were so angry, raging with anger, and they were out for my blood. They couldn't do anything in the dream. They couldn't do anything, but you could see the anger in their eyes, and oh, man. And a Krupa woke up, and we stood up and read the Word of God and prayed together, and the next morning, I'm pretty happy. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, right? I love, it's an unpleasant experience, but I love seeing the devil so angry because I keep giving him everything he doesn't want. I keep saying yes to Jesus. I keep serving him. I keep standing up here and preach Christ. And isn't it amazing? Like, it's every time you take a step forward, you are at war. It really amazes me. You stay stagnant, he's fine. You take a decision in Christ, he's very unsettled. But anyway, that's a victory story for me this week, and I'm moving forward more powerfully now. Amen. Why don't we just pray tonight before we start? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful night. Thank you and for your victorious Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And Lord, tonight we stand on that solid rock, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for the word tonight. I pray that your word would bring life into every heart, into every life tonight. Strengthen me as I speak your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're currently on a series, beautiful series, called By Invitation Only. And I'd like to share what God has put in my heart tonight about this whole topic. The kingdom of God has a culture of invitation. And all throughout the scripture you can see, for example, Jesus said, come to me, all those who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus invited his disciples, come and follow me. So all throughout the scripture, you can see God never forces a relationship upon anyone. Rather, he invites. Because that wouldn't be true relationship, or that wouldn't be true worship if he was to force that. Henry Nguyen quoted this, Jesus invites us to abide in his love. That means to dwell with all that I am in him. It is an invitation to a total belonging, to full intimacy, to an unlimited being with. And tonight I just want to draw your attention to Revelations chapter 3, verse 14 to 22. Dan, if you could please put that up. Thanks, mate. To the church in Laodicea. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen. The Amen is Jesus Christ, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know the deeds that you are, neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of your mouth, out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and clothes and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. And those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Now, Laodicea is one of the seven churches in the ancient Asia Minor mentioned in the book of Revelations. And here Jesus Christ himself is speaking, giving a message to the church in Laodicea through an angel. And this is the only church out of the seven churches in the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ didn't have a lot of good things to say about. The city of Laodicea was one of the wealthiest cities in the ancient world. It was, you know, it was one of the great commercial and business centers. Wealth wasn't a problem. And in AD 61, a massive earthquake devastated the whole city. And their citizens were so rich, so wealthy, they refused any help from the Roman Empire, and they rebuilt the whole city themselves. Now, they took pride in that. They were convinced of their own wealth, but they were blind to see their own spiritual poverty. They claimed to be rich, blessed, and self-sufficient, and all of that. But Jesus, in his letter to the church in Laodicea, is saying, I see that you are wealthy. You take pride in your wealth, but in my eyes, you are spiritually poor. Jesus is declaring there's not a community that's more poverty-stricken than the church in Laodicea. But in verse 18, Jesus says, but behold, I counsel you to buy gold that's refined in fire. He's saying, buy from me gold that is refined in fire. Gold refined in fire stands for faith. He's saying, it's not all finished. I see your miserable condition. I suggest that you buy the faith that I can provide so that you may be rich. The wealth that you got may not buy you happiness. The wealth that you got will not buy you the meaning or the purpose that I can give. The wealth that you have will not buy you eternal life. But you buy the gold that's refined in fire from me and you be rich. And Laodicea was a great center for manufacturing clothes. And they made the best woolen clothes and they traded them, mass-produced them. And they took so much pride because they could produce the best clothing. And they were so prideful they didn't even need God anymore. And Jesus is saying here, but Laodicea, in my eyes, you are spiritually naked. But I counsel you to buy white clothes from me so that can cover your spiritual nakedness. You must come to me and get the white robe, the spiritual white robe, so you can clothe yourself, you can cover your spiritual nakedness. The city of Laodicea was well known for its medical center. They were known for two things. They produced the best eye salve. Eye salve is eye ointment. And they produced the best ear ointment. And they took so much pride because they could manufacture the best medicines the world could ever buy back in the ancient times. They were so proud they didn't even need God anymore. And Jesus here says, you are blind to your own spiritual poverty and your own spiritual nakedness. I counsel you to buy the eye salve I give to open the spiritual eyes. They had no wish to see themselves as it was. See, the tragedy of Laodicea is that they were convinced of their own wealth, but they didn't realize their spiritual poverty. They were allowing the greed for money and the fame and the desires the world could offer, and they allowed that to seep in and crush the word of God and become unfruitful. And you can see in Revelation chapter 3 the disappointment that Jesus has looking at the condition of the church in Laodicea. But in verse 20, there's good news. Jesus says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." Now, in spite of the miserable condition that this church was in, this people, the city of Laodicea was in, Jesus Christ is graciously standing and knocking at the door of every human, waiting to be opened. So he can come in, he can change their spiritual poverty, he can change their spiritual nakedness, he can open their spiritual eyes. Here we see a loving Christ seeking sinful men and women. Jesus is saying, "I know you're wealthy, but you are spiritually in poverty. I offer you gold, refined in fire. I offer you the faith." Jesus is saying, "You produce the best clothing in the world, but I see you are spiritually naked. I counsel you to buy the white robes." If you think about the prodigal son, when the prodigal son returned, the father took the best robe in his cupboard and clothed his son. So spiritually, Jesus Christ is saying, "I give you white robes to cover your spiritual nakedness." Jesus here is saying, "You produce the best eye salve, the best eye ointment that opens up people's eyes, but I give you the spiritual eye salve that will open your eyes so you can see your spiritual nakedness. You can see your spiritual poverty." In Luke chapter 19, we see Jesus walking through the city of Jericho, and there was this man called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was one of the wealthiest tax collectors, but he was one of the most hated men in the district because he ripped people's money off. And because of the choice that he made, he was pretty lonely. He didn't have a lot of friends. And he heard about Jesus coming into his town. He heard about this man named Jesus who would hang out with sinners and Pharisees and tax collectors. You know, I think I was talking to Ben the other day. I was actually thinking, what does it actually really mean that Jesus walked with every kind of people? I'm trying to think, you know, every kind of sinners but still walk in the Spirit. Isn't that amazing, you know? Every kind of sinners. I don't know if I could do that, but I want to do that. There was something so unique about Jesus that attracted everyone. He hung out with everyone but still walked in the Spirit. So the Zacchaeus heard about Jesus coming to the town. Because he's short, he ran ahead of the crowd, massive crowd. And he climbed up this tree so he could see Jesus. And when Jesus arrived, and when he was close to that tree, Jesus looked up, and here he is, the little man up there, the very wealthy tax collector. When Jesus saw Zacchaeus, he saw a very wealthy man, but a very spiritually poor man, but a spiritually naked man, a spiritually blind man. But he had all the wealth. He had everything the world could offer. And Jesus saw the miserable condition of Zacchaeus, and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Today, I must stay at your house." Zacchaeus, come down. And the next part is the most interesting part. Zacchaeus came down and he welcomed Jesus gladly. Zacchaeus came down and he welcomed Jesus gladly. Now, what did the little man have to do for Jesus to react like that? Now, Jesus knocked at the door of this man's heart, and Zacchaeus came down and he welcomed him to his home. And not only his home, but he welcomed him into his heart, into his life. And later in that passage in Luke 19, we can see Jesus saying, "Today salvation has come to this house." Zacchaeus opened his heart wide open and he let Jesus in. He invited Jesus into his life and he was transformed. In Revelations 3:22 it says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Holman Hunt in his famous picture, he draws pictures. The light of the world, he drew this picture and he painted the door of a human heart, but the handles are inside, not on the outside. And only you have the right to open, only you have the capability to open the door of your heart. And Jesus knocks at the door of your heart. And what does this mean to you? The messages Jesus Christ actually had for these seven churches about 2,000 years ago were not just confined to the people back then. The Spirit is speaking now. The Spirit, the words are eternal. He's speaking to every individual of every generation. What is the Spirit speaking to you tonight? You know, for years, I was living a boring Christian life. I would turn up to church every Sunday. I would sit somewhere, sing along, happy days, go home, live like the world. I was making money, but I didn't realize I was spiritually in so much poverty. Jesus kept knocking and knocking at my door. He kept knocking and knocking and knocking. He's saying, you got everything you need in this world, Josh. But in my eyes, you are spiritually poor. In my eyes, you are spiritually naked. In my eyes, you are spiritually blind. But I offer you, Josh, gold refined in fire. I offer you the faith. I offer you the spiritual clothes so you can cover your shameful spiritual nakedness. I offer you the eye salve, the ointment to open your eyes to see your own spiritual nakedness. And I saw my own miserable condition, and I opened my heart wide open for Jesus to come in. And I experienced transformation like never before. I would not trade this gold that Jesus offers for anything this world can offer. I invited him into my life, every part of my life. Could I please get the band up, please, mate? Thanks. Is Jesus speaking to you tonight? In Revelation chapter 1, John, who is in the island of Patmos, gives us a perfect description of the Son of Man. Dressed in a white robe, reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were like white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze out of a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came sharp double-edged swords. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Here we see an absolute beast of a Jesus. John is giving a perfect picture of Jesus Christ in heaven. And the same Jesus in Revelation 3 is knocking at the door of your heart. He's waiting and waiting, knocking at the door of your heart. An absolute glorious, majestic Son of God in heaven, knocking, waiting at the door. I want to challenge you tonight. Now, you may have all the riches in this world. You might have the best house in town or the best car that's available now. God bless you. But you are spiritually naked in the eyes of God. You are spiritually so poor in the eyes of God. But behold, there's good news. Jesus is waiting outside. Gracious, loving Jesus Christ. He wants to give you gold refined in fire. And will you open up your heart tonight for this Jesus? Maybe there's someone in this church right now who is listening to me, who has never gave their life to Jesus, or maybe first time hearing about this Jesus. Let me tell you, He knocks and knocks and knocks at the door of your heart till you draw the last breath. Will you open up the door of your heart for Him tonight? He wants to come in and He wants to dine with you. He wants to abide in you. Maybe you're in a season in life, you're in the darkest valley of your life. Maybe it is depression, maybe it is pain, sorrow, you lost someone in your life. Maybe anxiety, you lost job, you're jobless. Maybe you got sickness. Maybe you broke up with your good friend or your good partner. Whatever it is, God knows your heart. There is good news. The King is at the door. He wants to come in. He wants to dine with you tonight. Jesus Christ, this absolute majestic King of Kings, He's at the door. He wants to change your depression into joy. He wants to change your sickness into healing. He wants to change your pain into joy, mourning into dancing. Will you open up your door? He's knocking. The Spirit of Jesus is speaking to us tonight. If He's speaking to you, will you raise your hands? Will you raise your hands? I want to pray for you. This is not just another sermon, dear friends. I'm not standing up here just so I can feel good in these lights. All of these are all good. God blessed us. I'm not here so I can work on my preaching skills. I couldn't care less. I'm here because He gave me so much meaning and purpose. He transformed me. And I'll keep preaching this good Christ. I'm standing up here so you can grab a hold of this good Jesus. Will you open up your heart tonight? Why don't we all stand up? Why don't we all stand up? I want to pray for you tonight. If God has spoken to you tonight, if the Spirit, the same Spirit that spoke to the church of Laodicea, has spoken to you tonight, it is for every individual of every generation. Jesus Christ is speaking. If He has spoken to you, do not let fear take hold of you. May I encourage you to come forward. I want to stand with you and pray. The leaders of this church will come forward and pray with you. As we worship, open up our hearts. Examine yourself. Will you accept this King? Will you invite Him tonight? He wants to dine with you tonight. Right now, we will pray for you. And if that's you, come forward. We're going to have a good time of worship and prayer. God bless you.